It is my pleasure to welcome the return of Dr. Courtney Craven, who is a very talented interventional cardiologist at DeBora Heart and Lung Center. Dr. Craven is board certified in cardiovascular disease, interventional cardiology, and nuclear cardiology, the true triple threat. Dr. Craven earned her medical degree at DeBus College of Osteopathic Medicine in Philadelphia. After medical school, she completed a residency in internal medicine at the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, went on to complete both a fellowship in cardiology and interventional cardiology at DeBora Heart and Lung Center in Browns Mills, New Jersey. Dr. Craven's special interests include coronary intervention, peripheral vascular intervention, and Dr. Craven has participated in clinic research projects and authored articles in peer-reviewed medical journals. DeBora Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Courtney Craven, interventional cardiologist, and the program topic this half hour is understanding heart tests and screenings, which I believe, I know we're on our 35th year, which is almost mind-boggling to me, being a small part as the host of DeBora Heart and Lung Center presents. And that's both the television program for more than two decades and the radio program. And I don't believe, Dr. Craven, that we have ever specifically done this topic before. And it's so huge. And I welcome you to your program. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure. First question right out of the box. What are heart health screenings? And if you would describe the difference between preventative heart screenings and diagnostic testing?
Yeah, I think this is very important. Overall, the question of what are heart health screenings, there's multiple different ways we can screen for heart health. Some of them include simply talking with your doctor, doing a really thorough office visit, and talking specifically with either your primary care or being referred to a cardiologist. The next level up is getting a tracing of your heart's electricity, which is called an EKG. There are certain blood tests we can also screen for, some of the risk factors that we know lead to heart disease. And then diagnostic testing specifically differs a little bit from heart screening tests. So heart screening tests, what that really means is we're trying to differentiate your risk of heart disease. So we're trying to gather all your risk factors and kind of get a rough estimate of what your overall risk of cardiovascular disease is based on those risk factors. Once we move into the diagnostic testing portion of, you know, your cardiovascular exam, that's when we're actually trying to look. We're trying to find clues for different diseases that you may have or may be starting. And those diagnostic tests are what are going to help us diagnose and actually give you a diagnosis for what might be going on.
You know, I'm always hesitant, Dr. Craven, to ask questions like, at what age should you do something? I mean, for example, it's fresh, rip it right from the headlines. You got James Vanderbeek, who was diagnosed stage 3 colon cancer at age 45, and he has passed away at 48. So what if we told James Vanderbeek, hey, wait till you're 50 to get a colonoscopy? Not a good idea. But I'll ask the question anyhow. At what age are heart screenings recommended?
Yeah, this is such an important part of what we should talk about with heart health, and kind of a personal, just a really personal passion of mine would be preventative heart disease, right? Preventing that cardiovascular event, preventing that big one, quote unquote, big one. And how we do that is we monitor the risk factors. Now, one specific age to start screening for overall cardiovascular disease, I'm not sure I can give you that age, but people should be following up with their primary care physician. And usually what we say is specifically things like cholesterol panels, blood pressure recordings, checking for blood sugar abnormalities, and getting a weight at every visit. These should be done for all adults over the age of 20 years old.
Wow.
So very, very early on. And then once we reach our third or maybe fourth decade of life, then we would recommend seeing a cardiologist and You know, getting like a baseline ultrasound of your heart, which actually gives us a great deal of information on how the heart is functioning with the other organs and how healthy the heart is.
Our guest is Dr. Courtney Craven, starring today on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Dr. Courtney Craven, interventional cardiologist at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. To make an appointment, I'll give you the phone number, and I'll also give you, so from any digital device, you can do the same thing on the web at demanddeborah.org, and you'll see it's a big speed button tab, hyperlink to scheduling your appointment, or if you prefer, and people prefer either or, 609-621-2080. That's 609-621-2080. How do lifestyle factors and family history influence and all that affect all of this with respect to when and which tests should you have for determining cardiac issues?
Yeah, and this goes hand in hand with the question that we just kind of went over. You know, what is the appropriate age for recommended heart screenings? Your lifestyle and also your family history play a very significant role in when we should start thinking about, you know, ruling out or at least doing some screening tests on your heart. Obviously, if you have a family history of heart disease, there are certain disease processes with the heart that are genetically, you know, genetically hardwired to a certain extent in families. So somebody that has a family history of early coronary artery disease or early blockage in the heart arteries should be screened earlier with, let's say, a stress test or even an echocardiogram. Usually we say about 10 years before your earliest relative has had, you know, a major cardiovascular event. And again, this can change when you talk with your provider, but lifestyle also. I mean, we'll go through, you know, the different risk factors for heart disease, and if you check those certain boxes where you're in a higher risk category, then the screening should happen earlier based on those lifestyle, you know, aspects that you have.
So important. Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Courtney Craven, interventional cardiologist. And our program topic this half hour is understanding heart tests and screenings. So we've heard from you in past interviews. We've talked about regular screenings. We've learned terms such as know our numbers and things like that. What are the numbers that we need to monitor and how often should they be checked?
Yeah, so when you come to see the cardiologist, or even this can be done with your primary care physician, you know, the specific factors we're looking at, a lot of it can be obtained in the blood work and also just your vital signs. So we look at the blood pressure, and again, your blood pressure should be checked at least twice a year. Some people do check their blood pressure at home, which I love. I love when my patients come and bring me a blood pressure, you know, log. That's one of the greatest things a cardiologist could see in the office, is the patient really taking the initiative at home to monitor that. A cholesterol panel also, looking at the changes either up or down in your cholesterol numbers. And again, this should be checked. You should get this blood work twice a year. You know, if you're over the age of 40, certainly twice a year, these numbers should be monitored. We'll also look at your hemoglobin A1C, which is a 3-month average of your blood sugar. Again, you should be having that twice a year in a non-diabetic. In a diabetic, we're usually wanting to check this every 3 months. And then at every office visit, you know, we are checking your weight, kind of, you know, leaning in on what are the changes that you've gone through and why are the changes in your weight happening? Because all of these can be clues or evidence that something may be going on with the heart.
Wow. So if you're putting on pounds, that could be part of a heart issue?
Absolutely. People make changes when the heart starts to decondition, or when the heart starts to, you know, just for very simple terms, get sick.
Yeah.
You know, we oftentimes will compensate, and that compensation may be not moving as much, because moving might make us feel bad. So, you know, if there are changes in the weight, you know, there's not, it's not directly if the weight goes up, you know, you're going to have a cardiovascular event. That's not at all what we're saying. But it could be evidence that there may be some strain on the heart. There may be something we need to look into further with the heart.
I was going to say, it's a very reasonable, sensible comment, because it could be an early warning symptom, because if all of a sudden you're putting on weight that, you know, you just don't even know how it's happening. I think that is really important, what you just shared. What are some of the heart tests that a healthcare provider might order, and tell us about them?
Yeah, we have a slew of tests now. I mean, you know, modern technology has actually been very, very favorable to cardiology. We have a number of tests that we can do on the heart to look from all different angles and in all different types of patients. You know, even if you can't ambulate on a treadmill, I know one of the stressors when patients come to see me specifically in the office, you know, they say, oh, you know, I'm so nervous that you're going to order a stress test, because they have an idea of what a stress test is. And, you know, they're scared about it. They don't know what to expect and they're afraid. But now we have so many different tests that can evaluate the heart, even in non-invasive ways. These include an EKG, which is an electrical tracing of your heart, different types of stress testing where we can give you medication to induce stress, and also different kinds of treadmill, actual physical activity stress tests. We also have ultrasound, which is a very non-invasive way to look at the heart function. And then newer tests in the form of CT scans, which are very non-invasive, looking at the amount of calcium in and around the heart, as well as for blockage. We can actually look down the vessel with a CT scan and evaluate any blockages non-invasively now.
We are exactly at the halfway point. We only take one break. We'll do it right now, and we will come right back with Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents Dr. Courtney Craven, interventional cardiologist. Our program topic this half hour is understanding heart tests and screenings. When we come back, Dr. Craven will address what heart issues can be determined by diagnostic testing. So, in other words, structural heart issues, rhythm issues, prior heart attack history, valve issues, blockages. Dr. Craven will be talking about all of this and more as we continue. And if you are dealing, as you listen to Dr. Craven, if you feel that you're dealing with issues that we're talking about, or any type of issue that Deborah Heart and Lung Center handles, just give them a call to make an appointment at 609-621-2080. And on any digital device, you can go to their website, demanddeborah.org, and schedule an appointment right from the website. Back with Dr. Craven in just a few minutes. Welcome back. Boy, this is flying by. But when you're having fun, and we always have a great time interviewing Dr. Courtney Craven, if you're just joining the program, the topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, Dr. Courtney Craven, who is a very talented interventional cardiologist, triple board certified in various disciplines. Our program topic this half hour is understanding heart tests and screenings. And when we left you just a few minutes ago, I teased the next question, which was, what heart issues can be determined by diagnostic testing?
Yeah. So with diagnostic testing, we can look into any kind of valve heart disease, which could be the valves are either blocked or that they are leaking. Also, any kind of structural heart disease. You know, everybody has heard of the term congestive heart failure. So we can look into how well the heart is squeezing and if the heart has become weak over time. Other things that we can look for in these diagnostic tests are if the patient has had a previous heart attack or some type of event that we missed. And also any kind of cardiac arrhythmias or abnormal heart rhythms can be assessed with diagnostic testing. So lots of evidence we can obtain with these tests.
Dr. Craven, two-part question. So a guest listener right now listening to the program, if they have testing and they have normal results, you know, what does that mean? What follow-up or monitoring is needed if they have normal test results? And let's do the flip side. If there is an abnormal result or results, what follow-up or additional tests may be needed?
Yeah, I always tell my patients when test results come back and they're normal, I say to them that this is very reassuring, right? So it's very reassuring in that there's nothing obvious that's showing up on her diagnostic testing, but, you know, things can always change. So you know your body the best. If something isn't feeling right or isn't or is changing, then that's still, even with normal test results, something that you need to talk about with your provider. On the follow, on the flip side, if, you know, test results are coming up abnormal, that's typically going to trigger us to recommend further testing, you know, to go in and find out what's wrong. And then also to find, you know, a solution or find, you know, a treatment for what we're finding. If it's a blockage or if it's a rhythm disturbance or if it's congestive heart failure, and we can get you on some medications that will strengthen the heart back up. But usually abnormal results are going to trigger, you know, more follow-up for diagnostic and then treatment purposes.
Let me give you just a sidebar question, a bonus question. I was thinking about this, and I don't know if this is a good question or if it's a terrible question, but do you find that there are a lot of folks that are actually afraid to find out if something is wrong, so therefore they don't seek the help that they should for fear of finding out if something is wrong?
Yes, this absolutely is. We see this all the time. Patients come in and, you know, sometimes, you know, the symptoms are kind of downplayed, which, you know, it can be the patient knows that they're downplaying the symptoms or not. Sometimes they don't know. They just don't know what to share with their provider. But yeah, we see this a lot, this kind of fear of what we're going to find on the testing, which, you know, it's something that you need to work through with your provider. Personally here at Debora, I mean, you know, I know myself and all my colleagues, we spend a lot of time talking in the office with our patients about what we're finding. And really, there's no bad finding, right? I mean, when you're in the office and you're doing the testing and you're looking at things ahead of time, you're looking at things upstream,
yep,
there's really nothing that we can't tackle at Debora. There's really no bad news. So, you know, I would kind of encourage, you know, to think again about that, you know, oh, I don't want to do the testing because I don't want bad news. There really is no bad news.
Now you're going to get the news, and then you're going to get the news about this is what's up and here's how we're going to handle it.
Right. Exactly.
So it's so important. Anybody that has that mindset should flip the whole script. You should be afraid not to know. And I can testify to this. I've been to Debora many, many times over the last 34 years and met incredible people in all the different departments. And the rapport with patients is unbelievable. And any objections that maybe someone had beforehand, just afraid of this or that, once you meet your healthcare provider, your doctor, that's all gone. I promise you, that's all gone in a hurry. To make an appointment, 609-621-2080 on the web. You can do the same at demanddebora.org. Debora Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Courtney Craven. We usually visit with Debora almost like clockwork on the second Thursday of every month in the first half of the 9 o'clock hour. It floats occasionally, but it's always on a Thursday, occasionally maybe the first Thursday, but usually it's been working out over the years the second Thursday because we work with very, very busy doctor schedules. So they do a great job in committing to the program, and we're very grateful about that. The program topic this half hour with Dr. Craven is understanding heart tests and screenings, which takes us to the next question. I'm going to throw out another year, the age of 40 or over 40. So hypothetically, if you're over 40 and you do not have heart disease, should you see a cardiologist to get a baseline calcium score and have an echocardiogram?
Yeah, I think over the age of 40 is certainly a time when, you know, throughout life, you'll probably need to have a baseline echocardiogram for maybe some other reason. Maybe you're going for a test or something like that, and they want to know what the function of the heart is. But certainly, calcium score CT scan has been something that has been evolving, and a lot of times patients are actually getting these with their primary care physicians and then bringing the calcium score to us to kind of go over, which, you know, we love explaining you know, this type of testing with the patient in the office. But yeah, I would say 40, you know, 45 would be the time when really you should have these kind of baseline, not necessarily that something is wrong or that we're suspecting something that is wrong, but we should at least have a baseline heart function so that we can refer back to these in further years.
All right, this is going to be a fun question because it's almost going to be like a tongue twister. If you're working on risk reduction, because that's important to heart health, should screening work be in conjunction with risk reduction and not be a substitute for risk reduction?
Yeah, absolutely. Screening for cardiovascular disease and risk reduction, cardiovascular risk reduction should happen in parallel. And what I mean by that is the screening test should not stop. You should still meet with your provider, get the blood work that's recommended, have an EKG done on a yearly basis while you're working on your cardiovascular risk factor reduction, you know, getting that hemoglobin A1C down with diet and exercise, watching the cholesterol-rich foods that are in your diet, watching that weight, monitoring your salt intake. You know, if you are a smoker, working on ways with your healthcare provider that, you know, you can decrease your nicotine intake and hopefully, you know, stop smoking. I mean, this has been shown to be beneficial for all parts of your body, not just your cardiovascular health. So I'm a big proponent of doing these two in parallel because, again, my passion is prevention of heart disease, right? I mean, we see patients in the cath lab that, you know, we have to kind of pull them out of a cardiovascular event. But really where I think, you know, the bang for your buck lies is when we prevent these episodes from happening.
I'm going to throw it all at you in the final 4 minutes or so that we have under the heading of heart healthy living. Absolutely going to cover the smoking that you mentioned. And I know you meant vaping along with that. I've always been of the belief early on, I know there's a lot to still learn, that people that thought that vaping was safe, I don't feel that way at all. I've seen popcorn lung. I've seen young people in emergency rooms with very, very serious situations and in some cases even permanent lung damage. So none of it's good, smoking or vaping. But let me put it all out there. The importance of eating right, of getting enough sleep, which I think we're a sleep-deprived nation, of exercising, covering what you did, Dr. Crathan, in the last question about smoking and vaping and the effects of the heart. And all of these things are really important for being heart healthy, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you hit them all on the head. I mean, eating right is very important to overall heart health, and that includes, you know, keeping away as much salt as you can, you know, not necessarily keeping a salt shaker on the table, but just cooking with just the right amount of salt, you know, getting enough fruits and vegetables, you know, limiting your red meat intake. Not to say that you can't have some red meat from time to time, but limiting that and choosing, you know, a lean meat or a fish instead. Sleep is so important. I think sleep is personally just an area where we tend to kind of overlook it. Yep. We don't get a good night's sleep, and then the second night we don't get a good night's sleep, and then the third night we don't get a good night's sleep, and then we feel bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, really we could be doing a great job during the day, but if we're not resting, if our body is not resting at night the right way, right? There's rest and then there's good rest.
Yeah.
So paying attention to your sleep is important. Exercising, I can't say enough about it. I realize in today's world, it's difficult when we have to go to work all day, come home, cook dinner for our family, you know, spend time with the family. The last thing on our mind is getting, you know, physically active for 20 minutes of dedicated exercise. But our body loves it. Our heart is a muscle. We really like that time where we get our heart rate up. And, you know, we can kind of exercise our organs. So I would really recommend 3 to 5 times a week of doing some type of activity for 20 minutes uninterrupted. And smoking, I mean, we've talked about this, smoking cigarettes, but now this new wave of, you know, vaping is kind of scary because it was initially marketed as something that was safe, yeah, and a safe alternative to smoking. And, you know, it can't be further from the truth. So I think doing whatever you can to stop smoking and vaping, again, would just really add years onto your life. I mean, I just want to be blunt about that. It's really going to just add years onto your life.
Final minute, as a point of emphasis on the issue of sleep that you mentioned, and you did a great job on that portion of your narrative, and I think we are a sleep-deprived nation, and I think people do cheat on the sleep. The heart you mentioned as a muscle, it never completely gets to rest because obviously we would expire. So it's working even during sleep, but that's when the heart gets a break, right?
That's when your heart rate will go, you know, it'll kind of decrease and it'll go to the minimum amount of pumping that it needs to kind of keep the body, you know, perfused while you're sleeping. But this is when everything goes into, I like to call it kind of like a hibernation, right? So all of our metabolic needs kind of go down and the organs get to reset. I mean, the brain gets to reset, the heart gets to work not as hard as it does when we're, you know, going here in the car and going to the grocery store and going to our job. The heart is going, it's going up hills all day, you know, up and down these hills. And when we sleep, that is when the heart really restores itself. So obviously the same is true for the lungs and the muscles and all the vessels in the body. Everything tends to kind of move at a slower rate when we sleep. And that's when you see that, that cell rejuvenation, that restorative, you know, health that we need. So
important to make an appointment with Dr. Craven. And whenever we're doing the different topics here on the program, simple to do, call 609-621-2080, or you can do so on the web at demanddeborah.org. What a great clinic that you put on today, Dr. Craven, and thank you so much for it. Be well.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
It was, and you're terrific. Thank you so much, Dr. Craven. Until we meet again.